Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Listeners to City on a Hill radio show, thank you for tuning in. And as always, we invite you to share the show with your friends and family throughout the country and really throughout the world. Please tell them just to go to www.cityonahill.tv and listen to our broadcast. And of course, these programs are recorded and they'll be on our podcast immediately after you hear them. So we ask you to join and that you can learn with us. And there's more that needs to be learned other than the sound bites that we're getting, unfortunately, from mainstream media. We really need to understand the issues. And today is a very important conversation. If you're a parent, if you're a grandparent, if you're anybody that loves children and the future of this nation, you need to share today's show. It is that important. So we're going to go ahead, though. We always like to start off the show with giving it to God in prayer, just like the founders did, and really just like we need to at the start of every day. So we're going to ask Ms. Barbara Moore to lead us. Hi, Ms. Barbara.
Hi, Diana. Thank you so much. And before I lead us in prayer today, I'd just like to mention that it was on this day, September 26th in 1820, that our dearly beloved Daniel Boone died, and he lived a good long life. He blazed a trail through the wilderness and a great pioneer, and he was a great Christian. And I wanted to share a quote that he wrote to his sister-in-law, Sarah Boone. He said, "The religion I have is to love and fear God, believe in Jesus Christ, do all the good to my neighbor and myself that I can, do as little harm as I can help, and trust on God's mercy for the rest." And we're so grateful that we can enjoy the benefits of the contributions of the great Daniel Boone, who was indeed a great Christian. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that you have given us, O God, the wonder of this day, the beauty and the opportunity of it, Father, to do as much good as we can, Father. Your word tells us that even before we were born from the foundation of the world, Father, you had ordained the good works that we would walk in. And Father, today we have our wonderful guest, Donna Garner. And Father, the good works that she has walked in, Father, the years that you have given her on this earth and she continues to walk in those good works that you foreordained for her. And what a blessing she has been and continues to be. And, Father, I pray that more and more Americans will hear her and be able to learn from her. Father, we thank you, Father, for that she is such an effective communicator of truth and that she has a love of the truth. Father, your word says that we are to have a love of the truth, so we will not be easily deceived, that even the very elect can be deceived if we do not have a love of the truth. So I pray that, Father, for everyone that's listening, oh God, that we will have a love of the truth and that we will apply it, Lord, rightly, and that we'll have that compulsion, that compelling, Father, within us to know truth and to share truth, Father. We ask your blessing upon our time here. We ask you to be with us, Lord, and to help us in every way, Father, to communicate with one another and to say those things that need to be said, Father. And as always, in love, we pray this in the precious and powerful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen, Ms. Barbara. And you mentioned our guest. But first of all, I'd like to go ahead and just remind the listeners, you know, where we live in this great nation. And I just think about in Matthew 5:14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And I just think that for such a long time, America has shone brightly to the world, you know, where the true light comes from in Jesus Christ. And we have been really at the pinnacle of this world. You know, many people want to come here. They do everything they can. They risk their lives to come here. And it's really like those that came here at the very beginning. I remember what you taught us, Ms. Barbara, about those that left Holland, parents who were seeing how their children were turning away from the faith that they believed in. So they came here, and they made sure that these children were taught the scriptures, you know, from early age. The first school laws were really in order to teach the children to compare the laws that were being made to those of God's word, the scriptures. We have come such a long way, and now our children are the prize of being, I guess, almost the most advanced technological nation in the world, because now we have gotten too smart. We have forgotten our humble beginnings. It's almost like we have made ourselves as gods, and in the end we have sacrificed or are sacrificing our children. I feel very strongly about this, and I know our guest, Ms. Donna Garner, and you feel very strongly about this too. Ms. Donna Garner, I'm going to just read what we put on the website here. She was an educator for 33 years. She was appointed by President Reagan and reappointed by President George Bush to serve on the National Commission on Migrant Education. She has been active in helping Texas develop English language arts, reading standards, and was a writer researcher for Scott and White Hospital's Worth the Wait Abstinence Education Program. She was also the writer consultant for MyStudyHall.com, which is an online tutorial to help students ages 10 through 100 to learn English skills. Ms. Garner is currently a researcher, author, and is involved in political, social, and education issues. And we are so grateful for you. I titled this, Can One Make a Difference? And yes, as we have seen with Ms. Donna Garner. Thank you, Ms. Donna, and welcome.
Thank you, Diana. You and Barbara are so precious. And Barbara, I loved hearing that this morning about Daniel Boone. That was so inspiring. I just love it. Diana, thank you for your wonderful comments. I tell you, your listening audience is so blessed to have you all to lay these things out with such clarity and pointing us to the scriptures, pointing us to what we need to do as patriotic citizens. And yes, one person can make a difference. And you guys, there are two of you, but individually you've made a difference one-on-one. So, you know, I really do believe that each one, this principle that each one teach one, you know, if each of us will teach those people just in our little group, those who are significant others in our, you know, with people with whom we have influence, if we'll just do that, you know, we can make a difference for God's kingdom. I know it. We've seen it happen a million times, haven't we?
That's right.
Oh, yes, indeed. And, Donna, we have come to know you, and we just really highly value what you are studying and teaching us. And I'd like to go ahead and start off, if I may, on what your studies have really dug up in regard to your own state of Texas, in regard to charter schools. That is really very disturbing, not just for your state, but really for the nation. And then later on, we're going to move into the other issue and the name Kevin Jennings. I'd like to talk a little bit about, you know, what he's been involved with, because these are so important for parents to know.
Well, it really is tied together, believe it or not, this whole thing about the charter schools. And I am not against charter schools. You know, I know that there are some good charter schools, and I applaud those, and I love the fact that many of them have wonderful curriculum. And what the statistics show is about half of the charter schools are showing academic achievement, that's equal to or better than the public schools. That leaves the other 51 or 50% who are perhaps not doing as well as they need to do. And, of course, we particularly want to focus on the Gulen charter schools that are throughout our country. Fethullah Gulen is, probably most of your audience may know this now. I hate to be repeating so much, but for those who don't know this, Fethullah Gulen is an Islamist imam who came from Turkey, lives in the Pocono Mountains in New York State in Pennsylvania at the present time. He has a plan, and his plan has come forth in Turkey. You know, Turkey used to be a advocate with the United States. Others, we were close countries. We could advocate for one another. We were close in our relationships, and that has all changed. And this has changed because of this one man. And it's amazing. You talk about one man who can make a difference. You know, he definitely has made a difference in that country. And now, you know, they have set their eyes against us. They have set themselves against Israel, and they are doing great damage because they are a member of NATO. And what happened is that through the slow process, and if anybody wants this research that I have written, I would be just thrilled to send it to them by email. It's a long story, and I can't express it all in the few minutes that we have, but let me give you my email address. I do not mind. Anybody and everybody can have this. My email address is wgarner1@hot.rr.com. And I've written an article in which I told about how Turkey was taken over by the Islamists just about a month ago. So it has happened, and it's because of the influence of this one man, Fethullah Gulen, who believes in Sharia law, and his whole idea is the frog in the boiling water. I think that's the best way to explain it. Just through slow progression, you know, when you have a cup of water and you add a drop of food coloring, you know, it doesn't take too long before it finally turns that water, you know, a particular color. And that's what's happened in Turkey. And it was slow and progressive, and now they've brought it to our country. And, of course, the way that it works is that you have to indoctrinate the young. We know that's what happened in, you know, with Hitler in Germany, and we've seen it happen throughout history, that the way you push ideology into position is by winning generations so that it slowly but surely seeps into the mindset of your youth as they grow, go forward then and become citizens and adults. And that's what we're seeing. And these schools, ironically, are paid by the taxpayers. Mm-hmm. That means that your tax dollars and my tax dollars, because we do pay taxes, there are about 50% of us, I think, now who pay IRS taxes, and our taxes are going to pay for these charter schools. As you know, charter schools are public money, paid with public money, and they, the Gulen schools have set themselves up to be charter schools. And the way they've done it has been very, very devious. You know, they have ingratiated themselves with our elected officials. They very carefully go out. They spotlight those people in a state, in Congress, who can make a difference. And they figure out who they are, and then they cultivate them. And they really just, you know, draw them in, tell them all these wonderful, magnanimous things about these charter schools, particularly stressing how good they are in math and science. That's a real need in our country, and, of course, that's a very great selling point for these schools, because they can tell these elected leaders, we have the answer for your science and math teachers and your math and science students. And, of course, we know that our country lacks these, and so we are open. It's a very it's a big keyhole for us. You know, people want to hear that. So anyway, they go out and they lure these people to come to their banquets, and the kids in these schools go and perform constantly. You look at them, and I've tracked how much they spend, millions of dollars a year, literally, going out and making these field trips. And their travel expenses are just horrible. I mean, they're unbelievable. I think it was $6 million in Texas in just a couple of years for their travel expenses, and there are only 36 of these schools. And that's much more than any public school would ever dare to spend in 2 years' time. And the public schools are, you know, of course, lots larger than the Gulen schools. So per student, it's a great amount of spending just on travel. Well, what they're doing is they're basically giving free trips to Turkey to these elected officials. And they go to Turkey. These are, of course, it was the great place of the, you know, the Ottoman Empire. They have riches and wonderful resorts and hotels, and they take these elected officials and they take them on a tour, a PR tour. They've got it down pat, and they know where to take them, and they take them to these schools, and they let them see all these students doing these wonderful projects and all this stuff. And then they sell them on this, and they say, you could have the same thing in your country, the United States, if you would just vote to you know, to add more charter schools, put more emphasis on charter schools, you know, bring these, set your total numbers of charter schools higher so that your boards of direct, you know, whoever approves your charter schools in these various states in the United States can approve more Gulen schools. And they are all tied together. And, of course, they are taught by mostly by Turkish people. What happens is the schools will start out, and they may have a few you know, English American speakers, and then gradually those people are replaced by Turkish men who either come from our country or have come over from Turkey recently on H-1B visas. I'll get it right in a minute. And they, of course, stay here, and they take the place, and then they just, you know, the English skills. One of the biggest gripes that I have about these, besides the fact that they're pushing their Muslim Sharia belief system, is the fact that they don't teach English well. Most of the people in these schools speak very poor English, and we've had parents who have, I've had parents who've written to me and have told me about their children being in these schools and receiving emails from various administrators and teachers and in these schools, and how poorly they write English, how poorly they speak English. And, you know, one of the main things that we need to be in, you know, emphasizing in our public schools is the English language and how to communicate correctly and speak it and write it well. Well, if you have teachers around you all day, if you're a child and you have teachers around you all day who speak very broken English, then, you know, what's that going to do for you? We've seen that in our schools that have bilingual education where you have children taught during the school day, most of the school day, taught with Hispanic speakers who do not speak English well. And we know what happens to these children, how they have a lot.
I'm sorry, Ms. Donna. Let me ask you a question.
Yes, dear.
If I may ask you a question, Ms. Donna, about the H-1B visas, I think I remember reading that really there's more of them that is able to come in through here than should be allowed. The statistics shows that.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering is this that political correctness that we're seeing all across when it's regarding the Muslims, as you know, will open the door of opportunity for them. It's like it's an advantage. It's almost like affirmative action. Is that what they're doing?
I don't know on that end, Barbara. I can't really speak from the immigration authorities. I just know that that they're coming in under these H-1B visas. And they're basically staying, and they don't, you know, we don't need their skill sets particularly, and, you know, they're coming in. But not only that, but they have found out now that some of these charter schools are actually taking our taxpayers' dollars and sending them back to people and families in Turkey of these, you know, these people who have these visas. So, I mean, our money is just... You know, there is not good accountability on these charter schools, these Gulen schools. In our state of Texas, during the legislative session just this spring, there were some wonderful women, two in particular, Marilyn Gertzenslager and Peyton Walcott, who worked with the legislature very closely to try to get them to put some safeguards into place, one of which was that all the people who are administrators or on boards of trustees at these charter schools, not just Gulen charter schools, but all charter schools, should have to show that they are American citizens. Now, that's a very common thing. They're using our taxpayers' dollar, the people in charge of these dollars. The people in charge of these schools obviously should be, you know, good patriots, American citizens. And that, you know, unfortunately, we didn't even get that passed as a way to guard our charter schools. Also, they'd ask that their expenditures be put online in online check registers, which schools all over the United States are doing this now. So it's not an imposition upon the charter schools to have to do that. And that's to bring transparency so that all taxpayers can see where their dollars are being spent. And there's no reason why these Gulen schools should not have to do the same thing. And we know that the Gulen schools do business among themselves, and they're all connected to the United States. You have an administrator who moves from this state to this state. They're all connected. They say they're not. And, of course, for a while, they tried to make people believe they were not tied to the Gulen schools. To Fethullah Gulen, and they're not a part of the Gulen network. For instance, you have Cosmos Foundation in Texas, which is over all these schools called Harmony Schools in our state. And supposedly, they were to have no ties with Gulen. Well, that has completely been discredited. We know they are, and we have the proof now. So they're not even denying any longer. I mean, they used to do that. That was a part of this whole frog in the water thing. You know, you lie to people, and they believe in taqiyya. Taqiyya is a belief system among the many Muslims, and particularly this Turkish group of Muslims. They believe that it's okay to lie to the infidel. So they basically have lied to us. And a lot of us in the United States, a lot of plain old everyday people, such as, you know, myself, and people just, you know, with more expertise than I have, for instance, but a lot of good old bloggers, just committed people who are, you know, care about kids, have dug this stuff out, and we have had to dig and dig and dig, and finally have gotten to the bottom of a lot of this, and have turned our materials over to the FBI. There are ongoing investigations in the United States. There's one in Dallas right now that's been turned over to the FBI to investigate the Gulen schools. So we do know, and they are coming out with some things in Pennsylvania. They've had some investigations where they've, you know, the Labor Department, U.S. Labor Department has been brought in because of all these visa individuals. And, you know, they're finding all kinds of tie-ins with, they don't bid on their expenditures, for instance. They don't take bids, and they go with a Turkish construction company who does, and then they go with Turkish people who bring the food in and Turkish uniforms. And I mean, they have a huge, they just have a huge industry, all Turkish. And since there are no bids being taken, then there's no way for us taxpayers, and there's no transparency in our state, in the Cosmos Foundation. You can't even dialogue with Sonar Tyrum, who's the head of all these 36 schools. If a parent wants to have a conference, for instance, with, you know, a person on the board of directors or the trustees with the Cosmos Foundation, I mean, you don't even know who these people are. They're some other place. You don't know where to find them. You can't get to them. I've had people who've tried to get open records requests from Dr. Tyrum now for over a year, and those have still not been met. It's as if they don't feel they have to be accountable to anybody. It's dangerous.
Donna,
it's very dangerous.
I think they have ingratiated themselves so well in these legislatures, and that's what's so troubling to me. And two, plus, we're funding the building of these schools. Really, it's not them. They may have put a little bit of money at the start, but it's pretty much like a domino effect now. They're able to get taxpayer funding. But I did hear that there was going to be some subpoena powers for a committee to investigate one of the things that is going to supposedly happen, because they could not pass what y'all were asking, that, you know, citizenship be surely required.
Right. There was a bill, Senate Bill 6, that was in a special session in Texas, and some of our wonderful conservative legislators put their feet down and said, you know, we're not going to vote for Senate Bill 6 unless you create a way to investigate these charter schools. So we have a committee in the House called the House Investigating Committee, and they are supposed to be investigating the Gulen and all the charter schools, but particularly the Gulen schools. We haven't heard anything from them, and when you call their office to see what's going on with Representative Chuck Hobson, you get some kind of response like, well, this is an ongoing investigation. We can't talk about it. So we don't know, Diana. We hope they're doing something. Yes, ma'am.
I saw where the Cosmos Foundation had their board members listed, and it seemed like they were all from Turkey. There must have been over 20 names listed, and with hailing from Turkey. And you know, when you've been talking about all this, and I was thinking, who authorized this? Where does the buck stop? Was it the Texas Board of Education that authorized these charter schools? Was it legislation? How was this done? Who is at fault for allowing this to happen?
Barbara, it was both sets, you know, the State Board of Education, which is elected, and also our elected legislators. And it was done because the Gulen has carefully cultivated particular legislators who put legislation into place, and then the State Board then had to respond to the legislation put in place. So you have people on the State Board who have been carefully cultivated by the Gulenists and who have supported these schools, and you have legislators who put this legislation into place. And I'm telling you, this is what I'm telling people happened in Turkey, and it's the same thing here. They did the very same thing in Turkey. you know, they made sure that they infiltrated these various agencies. They've infiltrated the police department. They've infiltrated the government. Now they have the president of Turkey is, you know, is a Gulenist. So it's the same
yeah.
thing they're doing here. You know, they've carefully worked and you know, and just, we, you know, woven their way right straight into our pocketbooks, and we don't have the oversight that we should. And that's why we have this House Investigating Committee. We finally had these conservatives, as I say, who stood up and said, no, we're not going to pass your bill unless you go ahead and set up this committee. So they're trying to take a position to, you know, put a quietus to this, you know, this frog in the water thing. But it is hard because you have Karen Hughes. Karen Hughes, all of you know who she is,
yes,
on Bush's
yes.
team. And she is a promoter. She's been hired to promote the Gulen schools. You've got the James Baker
Not
Institute
her.
In, what'd you say?
I said, shame on her.
Isn't it the truth? And you've got the James
yes.
Baker Institute in Houston. And
yeah.
its whole purpose is to push the Turkish. They've honored Gulen. Our senators honored him. I mean, it is just... And that's why it's going to take all of us. It's going to take you and me. It's going to take us grassroots people to get the attention of these legislators and of our elected officials. And we have managed to get their attention finally on the state board. And the individuals on the state board who just really pushed for a long time, these wonderful Gulen schools, and who said, oh, no, excuse me, let me say that again. Those people said, no, these are Cosmos Foundation schools. They have nothing to do with Gulen. Well, now we finally convinced one or two of these people, yes, they are tied. And so that has been overcome. So now the whole thing is, well, but they do such a good job with science and math. Well, I've written extensively on this, and I've gone into the Texas Education Agency data, and I've shown that really they're not that outstanding. They have not done that well. And unfortunately, we cannot get a hold of their ACT and SAT scores because those are sent directly to the schools. And, of course, they will not release those to us. But we have heard from parents and students, strictly hearsay, that those scores are not good at all. And we're not seeing these kids going off to these great and wonderful Ivy League schools either. So it's the state-mandated tests that the Gulen schools in Texas, you know, say are, that they've done so well on. But see, those are administered locally. We don't know that there's been any type of accountability or, you know, people coming in to monitor the giving of those tests. We don't know if the people giving, the administrators in these Gulen schools, are cheating. You know, look at the cheating incident in
yeah.
Atlanta, Georgia. My
That's right.
goodness sakes. And so here are these Gulen schools who actually have been operating pretty much in the dark. I mean, they're really not very open. You know, you do not feel welcome. You can't just walk into one. You're not allowed
you
to
see
the curriculum.
The State Board of Education members can. They have oversight. They can walk in any school, any time. And if that were happening here in Alabama, Betty Peters would be doing just that. She would also be shouting.
She would.
From the rooftops about this,
yes.
and
yes.
she would be working with, she would be getting the news to the newspapers so that they would be publishing all of this all the time. And that's what she would be doing. So I know the school board members should be doing that. They're in Texas.
Well, and we, you know, as I say, they were pretty, you know, they had the wool pulled down over their eyes pretty thoroughly, Barbara. They're not, I mean, I make it sound pretty simple, but it's pretty hard to see through them. You know, they've done a really good job because of the people, the influential people they have sent to testify before the state board and to, you know, to, and of course the news media, oh my goodness, you know, till just recently, I mean, they've been in the drink for the Gulen schools. I mean, you can't count the number of articles that have come out in our newspapers pushing this. And, of course, our poor little See, we've lost a lot of our conservative state board members in Texas. We had 7. Now we're down to 5. We have 15 on the board, so we do not have anywhere close to a majority. And we're hurting. We're really hurting here now. So we're not in control. We do not have, unfortunately, we had a couple of those, one particular conservative who was actually sold on these schools. And this is the problem. These people, a lot of people believe in charter schools. Their children have gone to them. We have good friends whose kids have gone to charter schools, and there are some good charter schools because they have a little bit more freedom than the public schools do. And so they have the freedom to hire and fire, and that's a big part. They don't have the teachers' unions looking down their throats. I mean, they have more freedom to, and so that's appealing. Plus, they're usually much smaller. So you have a much more intimate classroom. You've got a smaller teacher-to-student ratio. People want that. And see, they can send their children to these schools for nothing whatsoever, so, you know, more than they pay at the public schools. I mean, we all pay taxes, of course, but, I mean, above and beyond, there are no undue expenses at these charter schools, and so they think it's a good thing. And propaganda that these folks turn out. I think I've told you all this example before. This one kind of backfired on the local Harmony School here in Waco. You know, they had gone to do a presentation at a fine arts fair down by the river, and it's a wonderful experience outside. And, they brought in all these fine arts and different things, people, choirs, and, you know, all these different things. Well, these kids leave school all the time to go to these affairs where they know they're going to get public visibility. That's a part of their mantra. So they had taken off the school day, gone down in their Turkish costumes, and were having this beautiful dance, and they had their Turkish flags and very colorful, you know, doing a great job and, you know, just very practiced in their dance movements. And it was just graceful and beautiful. And pretty soon, though, they took an American flag and put it on the stage as a part of their presentation, and they began to dance on top of it. Now, people who were there, I was not there, but I had people tell me who were, that at first they didn't understand, they were so captivated by these beautiful children and so forth and so on, and their dances, and it was outside, and it was a glorious day. And all of a sudden they began to realize what they were doing. And so some in the audience, it took them a while to finally figure out, you know, that they need to take a stance on this. And, and some of them stood up and started saying, you know, booing or doing whatever they did to get their attention. And so about that time, the dance was over and they left. But, you know, that's kind of subtle indoctrination these children are receiving in these schools. So that was, that turned out to be kind of, as I say, it kind of backfired on this school. But normally, you know, they just, they're good salesmen. I mean, the administrators know exactly how to impress the American people. And so we have to be smarter than that. We've got to be wiser than that. And, as you all know, I've done lots and lots of research, and others have too, and we share this research among ourselves, and we are getting the word out. There are more people now, I believe, who are becoming very concerned about these schools. And fortunately for us, this last, I guess it was week before last, when the state board met to approve, by law, they have to go through and approve these charter applications. And the ones that were approved, none of them were new Cosmos Foundation schools. So that was good. Mm-hmm. And that's the first time they haven't had approvals in a long time. So I think that and by the way, they did not used to have the Board of Trustee members even listed on a website. You could not even find out who was heading up these 36 Cosmos Foundation schools until the safeguards were pushed hard and heavy by these two women I mentioned a while ago, Marilyn and Peyton. And they got enough attention, even though it didn't pass the legislature, they did get enough attention that Not long after that, maybe a week or two, here came this website, so that at least you can see who's on the Board of Trustees and who's the head of the Cosmos Foundation. However, you still can't get them to respond to you. I mean, you know, parents have tried. They've had, you know, it's just as if you're dealing with somebody, you know, a long, long way away when you have a problem with your child in one of these Cosmos schools.
Well, Ms. Donna, I'm just, you know, we had talked about Muslim Brotherhood, I think maybe a week or so ago, and it says right here on one of the articles I read they were established and, this particular Muslim Brotherhood document says they were established in 63 at the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign. But what they were saying is what their desire is really to come from within. I quote one here. Must understand that work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within. And we're seeing that more and more with other groups. And Fethullah Gulen is now known as one of the most dangerous, right, Islamists.
That's right.
And
that's right.
Yet I'm wondering, what kind of investigation is Congress having on this movement?
None.
And
none that I know anything about. None. You know, they need to. You know, they are beginning to investigate the Muslim Brotherhood and the CAIR, CARE, and doing some things there. Congressman King and his group and Daryl S. and some of those, I think. But so far as I know, nothing's been really – this guy, Gulen, is just working underneath the radar. And
we have an upcoming interview with our representative, our second district representative, Martha Roby. We have that interview coming up on Wednesday, and she is on the education committee and you know, has oversight, congressional oversight. And although I don't approve of the Department of Education and all of that at the national level, she is in that position. So she is on the committee. So we can talk with her about this and voice
She's
our concerns.
She's on my email, Barbara, has been for some time. Everything I write and send to you all, I've sent to her. And
I put my
congressman in touch with Martha. My congressman is Bill Flores, who's a really fine guy. And he's been talking to Martha. And, you know, I think that I don't know if they're working on the Fethullah Gulen thing. They are working on the Common Core standards, I understand, trying to figure out a plan there. But they just, you know, I don't understand why. It just seems so obvious to me, and it's so in your face what they're doing. I guess it's just the way Paul was in the Bible when he had to have the scales removed from his eyes. So, yes, please do. The more voices, the more people who contact these congressmen, you know, I know that they have a million different issues with which they're trying to deal. I understand that. And I know they can't be authorities on everything. And, you know, but we just, I think that people have got to get their attention. And I think the way to do it is just by having large numbers of people contact them. It's been my experience through the years when I'm dealing with administrators or anybody else. Of course, I was a school teacher for 33 years, more than 33 years. And I know that the way you do it is typically administrators, and I would say this would probably be the same thing for congressmen, you know, they ignore the first few who come forward, and they'll always say something like, well, we haven't heard anybody else say this. You're the only one who's ever mentioned this before. But then if they have 25, 50, 100, 200 people, you know, start to say the same thing, then it finally gets their attention. So I think it's large numbers that it's going to take to contact these people and to get their attention to this, you know, for them to pay attention to this matter.
Well, we're very impressed with her because one of the things that it was even Ms. Barbara that brought it up at one of the meetings, was about our military and the rules of engagement and the coin. And she was great. Within a couple of weeks, she talked to the Armed Services Committee and There was a House Amendment number 318 that got passed. So she's very, very good, and I think when she's really fired up, you know, that she will speak up really quick. And I think she will on this because she's in the Armed Services Committee. She's also in the Education Committee, and we're already hearing that the future jihadists are going to be those in our own country. And
that's
they're
right.
going to be coming
Absolutely.
Through our schools.
Robert Mueller, head of FBI, you know, just last year revealed, you know, just very disturbing statistics where they had located so many of these jihadists were homegrown. And I had, you know, I contacted them and I said, the reason they're homegrown is that they're being indoctrinated in our public schools. Mm-hmm. They are being, you know, they're being, the seeds are being sown, not just for the Gulen schools, but also, I think we've talked before about the matter that we have a lot of pro-Islam, anti-American, anti-Jewish content in our textbooks in our public schools. And I think that has, there's just been a whole, this whole thing is just, and the multi, just as you said a while ago, Diana, the multiculturalism, we're just, as Americans, we're just being pounded by, and we just haven't known exactly how to respond. I will say this, a while ago, in fact, I'm in the process of posting it to my email list right now. I went through some of Herman Cain's YouTubes a while ago, and he's got a great one where he gives an explanation as to, you know, when somebody says, well, are you going to put Muslims in your administration? Or would you put Muslims in your administration? And, I mean, he gives a great politically incorrect reply. And that's what we all have to learn. We're not mm-hmm. against Muslims having freedom in our country, the freedoms that all of us enjoy. What we're against is for them to indoctrinate us and our children with their belief system using our tax dollars. Now, something's bound to be wrong with that, isn't it?
That's right. And, you know, absolutely not against Muslim, but Islamic doctrine is another story. It's Islamic doctrine that rejects our United States Constitution with the idea of equality, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and so forth. And so to elect someone who adheres to Islamic doctrine is it's not conscionable.
It isn't, you're right,
they
Barbara.
Do reject the values of our United States Constitution and you know, what we believe
talking
in.
Talking about values, I'm sorry, Ms. John. I wanted to ask you, but we got so into this other stuff. But I wanted to talk to you about a recent email from Ms. Betty Peters. But talking about values, you know, we've been told that the textbooks that most of the states use are really based on California's textbooks and Texas. And so I'm assuming when we're seeing a little bit of Islamic agenda, it's not coming out of Texas textbooks. It's coming out of California, which Common Core, I'm guessing, they're going to be pushing the California textbooks to us. Is that right?
Well,
and social studies and other like
what
that?
You have to understand is that the wheels of change move very, very slowly. This indoctrination of our kids in our public schools, these books, started coming out in the middle of the 1990s, maybe even earlier. These pro-Islam books, these have been out there now in Texas at least, and our textbooks are, you know, up until just the last year, and I can't go into all of that for time, but we used to have the most influence of any state in the whole United States over textbooks because we have K through 12 textbook adoptions and in our state, and our market is so large. And California used to have the K through 6, but they, you know, adoption, so they had more there. But now they're not adopting textbooks anymore because of their downturn in the economy for them. So we're the largest textbook adopter state in the whole United States. So textbook companies obviously play to their biggest customer. So that's why, you know, the textbooks used in our state have basically been used in other states. And so these textbooks that have been in our schools now for at least, you know, at least 10 to 15 years, all these kids who've come through our public schools have seen this same indoctrination. Now, in our state, we're just now beginning to turn back and turn the tide, because in just last year, our state board adopted brand new social studies standards. Now, those social studies standards that we adopted, and this is when we had our we managed to get our eighth vote. Our conservatives were, in other words, in the majority at that point, and we managed to get them passed. The new social studies books that come out in Texas, which will be coming out next year, are going to be so patriotic. They are going to be so fact-based. They are going to, require students to read and to study the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the early journals and diaries, primary documents that were kept in our country. So textbooks that are coming out in our state will be wonderful. And if you in your other states, you know, can get your textbook adoption committees to carefully look at the textbooks coming out in Texas, then it'll have a tremendous impact across the United States.
Wow.
Our only problem is that now you've got, in our state, unfortunately, a bill was passed by some of our wayward legislators to create a textbook adoption process where our state board, our elected state board members, have real oversight, and a separate list, which is digitized content. And that is not going to have the purview of the State Board of Education. So that is a terrible thing. But I would encourage people, if you're talking about hardcover textbooks, I mean, the ones coming out in Texas next year, I promise you they will be great and we will see a change. But meanwhile, we have millions of people who've come through our public schools who've been indoctrinated.
Mm-mm. Well, let me ask you about another one. I know we're fixing to lose time. We've got Heavy back on again. But one of the things that caught my attention today, and Ms. Barbara's too, was the standardized testing that's going to start in Washington, D.C. that's, oh my goodness, involving sex and health. So can you tell us about that?
Well, this gets into a little different subject, but it is tied together in essence. But this gets into the Common Core standards, as you all know, because you're right in the middle of it in Alabama, and I've been working with some wonderful people in your state, precious people who are working with your state board members, trying to get them to renege on following the Common Core standards. And I don't even know what the latest is with you. Maybe you know more than I do, but I know up to about, I think my latest was about 3 or 4 days ago. It was pretty current. And this person was still trying to get your state board members to understand that the Common Core standards do tie in to health education and sex education. They do tie into the homosexual agenda being pushed by the Obama administration. And this in Washington, D.C., what you're talking about. See, the Common Core standards supposedly were put together by the Council of Chief State School Officers. They were the basic owners of the standards when it started out. As it ended up, it was some unknown people that were working in the dark of night in some pit somewhere that created these Common Core standards. I mean, they've not been internationally benchmarked. They've never been piloted anywhere. They have never been shown that they're really exceptional standards. They have not been passed through Congress for any kind of public hearings. Congress has not voted on them. And yet 45 states and Washington, D.C. have all said they're going to follow them. Well, the Common Core, the Council on Chief State School Officers, has come out. They're the source now for these standardized health tests in Washington, D.C. So think about what a standardized test can do, because this is the way the Common Core standards are going to be. Because the Common Core standards, and I've gone over this before, but people have got to grasp this now. Once you have national standards, which that's what these Common Core standards are, they lead to national assessments, leading to national curriculum. And then you have in this Common Core standards thing and Race to the Top and this whole charter school, this whole thing is one big web, which and now this No Child Left Behind is Obama has said they're going to grant waivers for states, but the waivers will be based upon the Department of Education defining what makes a state, other words, deciding which states have good college and career standards. And then once the department decides who has good ones and who doesn't, then that's how they'll grant the waivers. But one of the conditions for a state to get a waiver, not to have to fall in line with No Child Left Behind, is to tie teacher salaries to students' test scores. Well, once you've done that, then teachers, of course, are going to be teaching to the test. They have to, or they'll lose their jobs. And that then brings in the national indoctrination of our public schools. And the furthest, you know, the next awful thing here is that there's going to be a national database of the students and teachers. And on this national database will be all of this student and family and educator identifiable data. And we all know that when you have data close to you, you try to protect it. But the further it goes out from your local or to your, you know, to your state, and certainly to the federal level, the less careful people are about protecting that data. So
sure. All
of this is a part of this national takeover of our public schools. Well, what they've done in Washington, D.C., of course, is they're showing us it's a shadow, a foreshadowing of things to come. Because on these standardized tests now that their children in Washington, D.C. are going to be given will be all these different questions on sex education, sexually transmitted diseases. Are they going to say anything in these questions that will say, for instance, that 85% of men ages 13 through 24 who have HIV/AIDS caught it from homosexual activities, what they call MSM, men having sex with men, and or drug use? Is that going to be one of the questions on that test? I guarantee
no.
you it will not be, because they'll have a social agenda. And it's going to be the social justice agenda of the Obama administration, which will say things such as, and it gives you a choice. I've looked at the pretest, and it has a choice. I think it's of four answers. And it will say something such as, and this is not on there, but this will be. I guarantee this will be the kind of question that will be on there. It will be something like, if your friend George is, if somebody's making fun of your friend George because he's a homosexual, then what would be the correct way for you to respond? And there would be four choices. One would be, tell him that he's make fun of him. And the next, I mean, there'll be four ridiculous answers, and the fourth one will be something, the correct one, of course, will be something like, you know, be tolerant of his homosexuality and be tolerant and accepting of his homosexuality. I guarantee you that'll be one of the questions on there. And a kid who puts the wrong answer is going to have his grade docked. I mean, that's
wow.
how it's going to be. I mean, it's going to be that
no,
kind
no.
of response. Sure it is. And they'll tie it to the bullying agenda just as they have already tied. And Kevin Jennings, we talked about him a while ago a little bit. We all know that he was brought in. He was the head of GELSIN in Massachusetts, which, of course, was a gay-lesbian group that brought school children. I think it was year 2000, they brought them during the school day in Massachusetts to a conference on school buses where they instructed them on fisting and I can't even go into it on public radio, what fisting is. If you want to know, go to Wikipedia. But anyway, that was what they were. He was the head of that organization. Now, he, of course, was he had outed himself as a homosexual. He even tells in his own words about when he was a teacher and had a homosexual student come to him and was talking about it, and the homosexual kiddo was telling about an older man that was having relations with him and so forth. And instead of Kevin Jennings reporting it, which he should have done because it was child abuse, you know, he did not.
Absolutely.
And basically affirmed the kid that's saying, well, that's, you know, homosexuality is fine. And he became then, under the Obama administration, Obama became the president. Here came next appointee, Arne Duncan, head of the Department of Education. When Arne was over in Chicago as the superintendent of schools, Arne was the main proponent of gay-themed high schools, where only kids who were homosexuals would go, and they would have a whole gay-themed curriculum. That's what your Secretary of Education and my Secretary of Education in this country believe. Anyway, he then turned right around and hired Kevin Jennings. Okay, here came Kevin Jennings, head of the Safe School Department. So he then was the one who created this miserable, miserable document that came out I think it was on, October the 26th, I believe it was, 2010. And it was a 10-page document. It was called a Dear Colleague Letter that was sent from the Department of Education to every single solitary superintendent, K through 16. I'm talking K through colleges, private and public schools all across the United States. And this 10-page document basically said that Title IX was being reinterpreted by the Obama administration, and where it says that, and of course, Title IX has to do with anti-harassment, anti-discriminatory acts, and you're not supposed to discriminate, of course, for against people for ethnicity, for race, for disability, but sex was one of them. Remember, that used to mean male, female, right? So you couldn't discriminate against a person if they were a male or a female. If it was, you know, if you had a job and it was you wanted to put a female in there, you couldn't discriminate against a man for that job. Well, they've redefined the word sex. Now it means gender identity. And schools then were threatened all over this country by the Department of Education that if you, in your bullying agenda, should, you know, if you don't tell your people there, other words, under you in your schools and so forth, if you don't set policies which take in gender identity as a type of discriminatory activity, then you can have litigation filed against you by the department. You can lose every bit of your federal funding. So, what does Fort Worth ISD do? Fort Worth ISD is the first school in Texas that I know anything about, and this was just recently. They now have included in their bullying agenda that there cannot be any discrimination for gender identity. So what happened? Just last week, a kiddo in a school there in Fort Worth ISD, high school student, German student, a Christian young man, turned to his classmate, a fellow friend. It was just a friend. And he made a comment, and he said, you know, I do not believe homosexuality is right. This kid, an A student, was suspended from school because he had gone against the Fort Worth ISD policy. Now, that's where we are, folks.
Well, Ms. Donna, now, I heard that I guess they've pretty much got him back in school again, right? But now what about the teacher? I think something should have been done to that teacher. From what I heard, that teacher was screaming at that child. And have you heard anything?
Well, the problem is the teacher had already been following the policy that the Fort Worth ISD had set, which is in line with the policy at the United States Department of Education in that 10-page letter that was sent out. So the teacher was actually doing what he had been told to do. So I understand that he put some posters up the week before talking about homosexuality and it was a, you know, it's an alternate lifestyle, et cetera, et cetera. Well, you know, that's following the policy. If you're supposed to say that you're not supposed to bully anybody at all, you know, for any, and of course, nobody believes in bullying. Goodness sakes.
That's right.
The whole idea of bullying is you teach children to honor each other, their, to honor their personhood, to be respectful, to be kind, never to make fun of anyone. I mean, look how many of us were made fun of for being fat or for having red hair or for having freckles. And certainly, there's no need to elevate the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender community and make it look as if they're the only people in the world who've ever been, quote, discriminated against.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's where, and that's what they're demanding. They are demanding that the LGBT community be the ones who are, you know, front and center. And if anybody says, for instance, if I were teaching in that school in Fort Worth right now, if I were teaching health and I dared to bring in the data, the statistics from the Centers for Disease Control that show that 85% of males 13 through 12 who have HIV/AIDS contracted it through their homosexual activities, I would be brought up before the board. I would be fired on the spot. Because,
and you know, you know, it should be, it should be criminal not to bring that up, because not by not telling the truth, the lives of teenagers, the lives of young people are so endangered. Because of, you know, it's just backwards and upside down. And it is just horrible the way things are being done in our country for young people. We are destroying our young people through these policies, through these horrible policies.
And I'm thinking,
that's
too,
why,
as
y'all,
much...
That's why
I'm
these elections,
Donna.
I'm telling you,
yeah.
The elections, we have got to get rid of that person in the White House, and we have got to shed our agencies of all of these people with these kinds of philosophies and belief systems. We have got to undo it, y'all. We are stuck. Our nation is, our lives are at risk. Our children, our grandchildren's lives are at risk.
Yes,
now,
they are.
Ms. Donna, how about, will this stop with public ed or go on to private schools, these requirements, such as
Diana,
these standardized?
Remember that this letter was sent out to everybody, private and public schools. That means that a private school who has somebody being bullied because of their being a homosexual, you know, they could actually be, you know, litigation could be brought against them by the U.S. Department of Education, so long as they're allowed to interpret the word sex the way they chose to do it. The word sex means male or female. It has nothing to do with gender identity. It is the Obama administration that simply decided to extrapolate that definition and make it their own. That Congress has never done that. So what it's going
to take, I think,
it's going to probably take some kind of a congressional action, some kind of litigation to go all the way up to prove that Congress never passed this. The Obama administration has overreached a million times. They don't have the right to decide that interpretation.
So Ms. Donna, this standardized testing that was on that email, something like that we'll see that also in the private schools?
Diana, the Common Core is coming to, it's just in English and math right now, it is going to become the curriculum that is used throughout the country, and it's going to be every single subject. And the problem is that many of your private schools, and it's very alarming, a lot of your private schools just use public school materials. And if it's Common Core, you know, they're going to think, well, gee whiz, you know, my students at this school, only way they're going to get into college, if everybody's using the same kind of curriculum and so forth, then how are the kids in our college, in our private school, going to get scholarships to these universities if they're not in alignment with the Common Core standards and assessments? We cannot let them think that way. We have got to protect our private schools. We've got to say, don't even go there, folks. You know, the Common Core standards are dumbed down. They are not built up. They put less emphasis on the classics than what people have in their schools right now. They do not do a good job in math. They don't even stress the algorithms. They do not have distinct, or what we call discrete math courses in high school for Algebra 1, Algebra 2, Geometry. They're all mushed together. They do not have they're not going to be teaching writing. Is not taught well at all in the Common Core standards. I mean, I'm telling you, they can say how wonderful these Common Core standards are, but it's only the cheerleaders that are saying that, because no real experts, no independent experts have looked at these standards and have declared that they are superior. That is a bunch of baloney that we're just,
Madonna,
the Obama administration pushing.
Well, the reason I wanted to stress that about the private schools is because I know there's many hardworking parents that are doing everything they can so that their children are not indoctrinated to the point that, you know, they have sent them to private schools, they have homeschooled, and but, you know, those are not going to be safe. So, listeners, you really need to share this with your friends, you know, who are doing everything they can, taking all their money to private schools. As Ms. Donna has said, you know, they're not going to be exempt. And so we all have to really wake up and take a stand. I know a lot of parents are busy, football, baseball, you know, you name it, ballet, all these wonderful things. But as you've just heard today, you know, the most precious thing you have are your little ones, your family, your children, and they're not safe. They are not safe. You're going to have to own, you know, this is supposed to be a we the people nation led by we the people. We've been abstaining. It's time we wake up. It stinks. That really stinks. And I hope
you're fired up like I am.
It does.
And I've been there. I mean, I've done it all. I've taught homeschoolers. I have taught in the public schools. I have taught in private Christian schools. I know what I'm talking about when I say you're saying the right thing. Every parent, I don't care where your kids are, every parent, you need to read what that kid's reading at school. You need to read his textbooks. You need to read his novels. You need to see the worksheets. You need to see what they're doing. You need to have frequent parent conferences where you go in and look at the materials. Everybody has got to do that. I don't care, you know, where your kids are going to school.
Well, you know, we are all directly affected by education or the lack of education in this country. You know, we don't live in a bubble. The people that we go to church with, the people that we, the doctors that we use, and so forth.
The children,
the
people your children marry.
yes, exactly. We are directly affected by education, and 80% of Americans are educated in the public schools. And someone once put it this way, it sticks in my mind, that in talking about the school situation, you know, it's like the house is on fire. Well, you get your own kids out first, you know, and do the very best for them, but you don't stop there. You go back and you try to rescue more. You try to make things better for others. I mean, that's just the right thing to do.
Just this morning, Barbara, I was spending my morning working with a man who's running for Congress here in Texas, and I think he has a pretty good chance to win. And I've spent all morning going back and forth with him, trying to teach him about the Common Core standards and Race to the Top and this whole social justice agenda and on and on and on, and the Gulen schools, because his children go to private schools. And in the course of the conversation, he revealed, you know, that he just felt really good about his kids. And I said, but, you know, Congressman candidate, I don't want to say his name. I'll call him A. A, you know, you've got to realize that just because you think your children are safe in a private school, that, you know, 80% of the people who are going to become voters in this country are going to come out of the public schools. And I said, you as a congressman would have a tremendous responsibility to try to fix the public schools. Those are the leaders of tomorrow, even though you and I know wonderful leaders are going to come from our private Christian schools and from our homeschoolers. But the masses are going to come out of the public schools because of the way our whole system is structured in our country. So we have to deal with reality here, and we can't just walk off. And he said, as we went through the morning, he seemed to be getting more and more interested, and he began to, you know, I'm giving him some time to read some of these things at the present moment, but I'm hoping that he will realize that he's, you know, he's got to be concerned and has to take action. And Martha Roby, I mean, they're trying. I do believe they're trying. I do think they are, Barbara and Diana. You know, Martha's good, and I think they're trying to do something about it.
Well, but, you know, if he does get elected to Congress, many of those in Congress will have come up through the public schools and have a different worldview from his. You know, they've been indoctrinated for generations now, really.
That's right. That's exactly right. Well, we all have either children, grandchildren, aunts, uncles, whatever, who've been in the public schools. And so they do form. And one of the things that I use to, you know, to prove how the public schools have indoctrinated our country is that in English, for about the last 15 to 20 years, the emphasis in our classes has been, for instance, in our English classes, has been on the personal narrative. Well, the personal narrative or personal essay is tied to what we call the cognitive domain, which is your personal opinions, your emotions, and your feelings. So we have had our students writing all these personal essays all their lives, so that our country now is filled with graduates from our public schools who have been focused on emotions and personal opinions and personal beliefs, not on facts, not on knowledge, not on a deep core foundational background, but on how they feel about things. So we have a person who ran for the President of the United States, and what did he say? It was all feelings and emotions. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about Obama? Mm-hmm. Don't you feel good about him? And so then our people just ran right to the polls and voted him in based upon hope and change, because they felt good about him. You know, he's just they all said he's just such a warm, nice person. And, you know, I just kept wanting to say, you know what? I don't think I'm ever going to meet the President of the United States, so I don't really care personally what he's like. You know, I really don't, because I'm never going to deal with him personally. What I'm concerned about is, what are his policies?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's time for us to set aside political correctness. It is a danger to our children. And I hope the mama bears come out with their claws out. And, you know, this Turkish delight that's being presented to us, I just think of the Chronicles of Narnia, you know, and how that child was misled. I mean, they're doing the same thing. Okay, we're going to give you this, you know, Turkish delight. How wonderful it is. And also the parents that are, you know, blind. They're too busy with their children's extracurricular activities not to notice that their children's getting brainwashed. It's time to stop, and I think you know, we know that you, that our parents, most of you, love your children and do anything in the world to save them. If you knew they were falling off the cliff, you really don't have to do too much. You just need to learn. And Miss Donna has given you a wonderful, Miss Donna, you have connected the dots.
You know,
yes,
we talked about two things. They may seem different, but really it's all about taking a hold of the future through the children.
Yes,
they're
going
to use children to change tomorrow. So
absolutely.
I think we love this nation. We love our children. We must get our hands. If you call it getting your hands dirty to get in politics, hey, let's do it. Our children are worth it. We need to clean it up. So
that's
my last word. Ms. Barbara, you've got some last words?
Now let's roll up our sleeves and get to it. Let's get to work. Those are my last words.
And with that, again, Ms. Donna, if you don't mind, give your email to them again, because they need to be, oh my goodness, contacting you and finding out these things. And of course, you know, they need to share this podcast.
Okay, it's GARNER1@HOT.RR.com.
And I agree with you. This next election is going to be very important. And really, you have the statistics, you have the figures to make common sense. As you said, you know, this is a lifestyle that kills. Why are we not going to share the truth? These are regarding the future of America, the children.
Diana, I cover, in my email, I send out articles on three issues, political, social, and education issues. And I always tell people that if they receive emails that do not interest them, to feel free to delete them. However, if they want to share those that seem pertinent with their neighbors and friends, then it's perfectly fine to do so. I claim no authorship or copyright privileges. People are free to cut, copy, and paste whatever they want from my articles. If they want to use those phrases or sentences or statistics or facts or whatever to build their own letters to their congressman or to their elected officials or to their letters to the editor, I claim no authorship or copyright privileges. So they're free to do that. I provide those things just as a service to try to help people all over America to to be able to verbalize their concerns and to give them ease in doing so, so that they can be effective.
Well,
so
thank you for that, Ms. Donna. Yes, and we have posted a lot of it on cityonthehill.tv. We posted it under education blog. I've gotten behind, but oh my gosh, Ms. Donna's emails just really cut quick to the heart and makes you realize what I showed, that you have got to be a part of the fight because the enemy's busy. And they're laughing at us, thinking, you know, it's a good thing that they're not paying attention. It's a good thing they're not studying this, because we're going to get it in there. Back door, front door, whatever it takes, we're going to get it in there, because the best defender of our children are us, and we're asleep. So let's please wake up, and may God help us, because it's going to take Him to help wake up America. So in closing, Ms. Barbara, it's such a big, big thing we're giving to God. You know, the Islamization of our schools, where taxpayers are even using their own money to fund it, not knowing they're doing that. And then even the same thing with the homosexual agenda. We're using taxpayer money to, you know, to my goodness, incorporate that in all public schools, private schools, and homeschools. So, you know, the doors getting wider for them, and I feel like a little I feel like I'm in chains, you know, because these are things being done, the states are being forced into it, and we're going to be forced into it. So we're not slaves. The founding fathers came here so that they could be set free, so they could teach their children rightly, so this nation would shine the truth that would lift mankind up, not make them slaves to agenda. So, Ms. Barbara, I'm just going to turn it over to you in prayer.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. Let's pray. Let's give this to the Lord. Father, we come before you, and Father, we recognize that we've made a mess of things ourselves. Father, we've taken this beautiful gift of freedom and opportunity and Oh, Father, but we've used it to fulfill the lusts of our flesh. And, Father, we have become a prodigal nation, Lord, as we've turned our backs on you, Lord, and pursued our own pleasures and Father, just neglected the stuff of life, Father, your life. And we have, we've made a mess. But, Father, you give us that picture of the prodigal son returning. When the prodigal son realizes where he is and the mess he's made and comes to himself, Father, we pray that Americans would realize what we've done and where we are, and we have made a mess of things, Father, and it's overwhelming, and we have no place to turn, Father, but to you. So I pray, Father, that Americans would wake up, would come to themselves, and to remember you, O God, the fount of living waters, and return to you, Father, with all our hearts and all our strength, souls, our minds, Father, that we will return to you. Because, Father, we see in that story that the Father welcomes back his Son with open arms. Oh, God, that's what we pray for our nation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you again, Mrs. Donna Garner. God bless you, the power of one. You have been faithful and to teach one of, well, to teach me and Miss Barbara, and you're continuing to do that. So we want to do the same. We hope the listeners will share this podcast with your friends, your family. And Miss Donna, would you like to say one more thing?
We're just praying for America and working as hard as we can under the leadership of the Holy Spirit to reach out to vet candidates. I've spent hours and hours just talking to possible candidates and vetting them. And if they do not if I don't feel a peace about them, and when I look at them, and if they don't have the right value system, and if I feel that they are compromisers, then I am not sending anything out to endorse them. So we can all do our part, and the elections are really important. I know y'all are praying and praying as we are, and I know God has the right person out there for our presidency. I know it is, and we're just trying to find who that is, and our congressmen and our elected state legislators and state board members. It's just vitally important that we all get involved and share with one another and, you know, just make it put it under the banner of prayer. We just have to be led of the Lord to do what we're doing.
Well, with what you just said, I'd like to point one more thing out, which I'm very curious, because this is one of the things that I was really hoping I would hear something from Governor Peary and them about, because he was the one that I think tried to put in that, you know, there's going to be subpoena powers with that committee that's going to have the hearing on these charter schools there in Texas, and I wish something would come out of that, because that is very worrisome. That's happened right there under his nose, and so I wish we'd hear more of it. I wish there was more information on it, but I'm very worried about that issue. But anyway,
well, I can just tell you this: he doesn't have anything to do at all with that. He has gone. He's all hands off on the Muslim situation. He has had nothing to do to help us to uncover this, and it's right under his nose. It's in his state, and he is not. It's hands off for him. He's not helped us one bit. I'm sorry I have to say that.
Well, I was very worried about that. That's one of the things I wish somebody would have asked him about, is what are you doing about it, but nobody has. And it's a very important issue in regard to the war on terror and where they're afraid the future jihadist is going to be coming from. It's coming within America. But anyway, listeners, you've heard a lot of information. Let God help you digest it, and don't just sit on it. Do something. May God bless you and shine his face upon you. Thank you for listening to City on a Hill Radio Show. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.